I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Dylan Barnes.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Okay, my computer has decided to wake up from its nap. Took me 10 minutes just to load the GarageBand app because my computer is old and has too much stuff on it.
Yeah, we've been in here for a while.
Yes, we have. Hey, welcome in, though. I'm Brad. That's Dylan. You probably should know that by now. Yeah. This is Prep Rally. Thanks for joining us. Coming to you every Wednesday. Find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. And also be on the lookout for another episode of the DJ Preps Football Preview Show. That's where you get to see our lovely faces while we preview some of the big games coming up this Friday. And we make predictions as well. Not something we do on this show. I guess we could, but why not just leave that for the football show? Yeah, we got a full show for you. Lots of football to talk about. We have athletes of the week, all that fun stuff. Let's start it. Start with the football rewind, Dylan. Looking back at some of last week's games, I was in Saltillo as Tupelo went over there to take on the Tigers, and I won't say it went exactly like I expected. I mean, I expected Tupelo to win by a lot, which it did, 41-6. But it was still a ball game well into the third quarter. I mean, it was 21-6 after Tyler Smith scored on a 24-yard touchdown run for Saltillo. And let me tell you, Tyler Smith, the quarterback of Saltillo, heck of an athlete. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't have a ton besides him, but he is hard to deal with. You know, didn't complete a lot of passes, but he did make some good throws, and he's just a danger with his feet. He ran for about 100 yards against a really good Tupelo defense. But Tupelo just had, you know, more depth, more overall talent than Saltillo, and so that's kind of what you expected at the end, was for them to pull away, and did that. You know, playing two quarterbacks right now, Jeremiah Harrell and Lake Reed, they were splitting snaps again, as they did in week one, basically trading out series. Sometimes one would stay in for maybe a couple of straight series if he was playing particularly well. But on the whole, I say they both played really well for Tupelo. Both sophomores, of course. And looking at the numbers, Reed was only 3 of 10, but he went for 107 yards and a touchdown. And he added 87 yards on the ground. Tupelo went to the QB run early and often, had not done that the week before against Lafayette. And Lake Reed is pretty good at running the ball. So that's a huge a little wrinkle to their offensive attack. And then you look at Harrell. I mean, he only threw three passes, but he completed all three of them for 86 yards, including a big 42-yard scoring strike to Katie Gibson in the first quarter. And Harrell also ran for a touchdown, so he ran the ball pretty well also. Tupelo had 419 yards total, 226 of that came on the ground. And so, you know, that offense is, you know, we had some question marks last year at times. You know, Jake Ware struggled at quarterback every now and then, and the running game was pretty solid, but they lost those two guys from last year. So there were some question marks between quarterback and running back. But this game, you know, I thought both positions played well. Quay Middlebrooks led the rushing attack with 89 yards and a touchdown on 12 carries. Gibson, the receiver, by the way, had three catches for 111 yards. And Tupelo's offense should get even better. Got some big weapons coming back this week from injury and or COVID, Daylon Patton and J.Q. Witherspoon. Mm-hmm. And they'll get Zay Alexander, the left tackle, back. He sat out last week after hurting his leg against Lafayette. Probably could have played, but wanted to just make sure he was okay. Now, and we'll talk about the Corinth game in a moment. But, yeah, good win there for Tupelo as they improved to 2-0. Had Nettleton at Moorville, and boy, what a thriller over there in Moorville. Nettleton pulls it out, 37-34. Jackson Cheek hit a chip shot field goal, what, at the buzzer, wasn't it, last play?
49 seconds left.
Okay. And to give Nettleton the win there, I mean, Moorville, that offense put up some nice numbers again last week. But Nettleton, as we know, has some really good offensive weapons, and all of those guys played well. Ty Walton, Roderick Patterson at running back, the receiving core, which we knew would be a strong suit, also played well. So, I mean, those are just two good offenses right there that are going at it. And this was Nettleton's first game because of COVID issues, and they looked pretty sharp.
Yeah, to throw up 37 in your first game and do it with a transfer quarterback that's, you know, getting integrated into that system and stuff. But we knew there was a reason we put Nettleton as our number one small school.
Yeah.
It's just because there were so many weapons. And really, one of those weapons, Jackson Cheek, was obviously the hero chipping that field goal in, and he's got a leg on him. But
oh, he could probably, I mean, if it was a 45-yarder, they'd have trotted him out
right
there.
But Antarian Vinson was the one that took, I think Morville had just scored with like a minute left in the game, and Terry Vincent took a kickoff back to the 5-yard line to set that up.
Right.
You know, Nettleton, I guess, actually had a chance to go. They had 5 yards to go score touchdown, didn't get it done before they got Cheek out there to kick that on fourth down. So they have the weapons that can put you in a position, and obviously Jackson Cheek's one of those weapons at the field goal. So they're just all the way around, whether it's offensively or special teams. Nettleton's a team that you have to worry about on all ends.
Yeah, they can score. The game you were at, Dylan, the Skunk Bowl. Well,
not a lot of scoring there, was it?
Was not expecting this. 2-0, Boonville over Baldwin. As we keep talking about it in the office, we had the 5-3 game in week one, Tupelo Lafayette, and now we've got a 2-0 game. Yeah. Here, a lot of safeties too. I've noticed looking at box scores of other games, there have been I can't remember which game it was now, but it had like two safeties in that one game. But not a lot of offense, as you said.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I mean, because if you think about it, you look back to Baldwin week one at Kossuth, they had a game winning field goal by Wade Barron there to win 12-11.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of expected strong defense, maybe not so strong offensive play from Baldwin, just
sure,
based off of week one results. But with Boonville, they go out against Morville week one and throw up 44 points and ran for 407 yards, and you're like, okay, so
yeah,
like you, but you, and you knew, but Boonville gave up a lot of points to Morville, and so it was, but we all expected Boonville to have a strong defense, so it was just kind of, I guess, not knowing what to expect, but I didn't expect 2-0 for sure.
Well, nobody expects 2-0,
right? And so it was weird, man. But at the end of the day, it literally came down. There was a multitude of mistakes on both sides. But
yeah,
one mistake can always be a killer in a game like that where you can't score. And for Baldwin, that one big mistake was, you know, you get pinned deep in your own territory to start the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Guy Gillespie may have been the player of the game for Boonville. I was telling you about it a while ago. I think he averaged over 42 yards on his 6 punts that he had. He had a long of 55.
Field position, man.
And so field position became a big deal, and he helped that when, you know, they go in the halftime 0-0 and Gillespie comes out. Boonville's kicking off for the first time all game, and he gets the touchback. Ball goes in the end zone, so Baldwin starts on their own 20. Well, then Baldwin had penalty after penalty after penalty that hurt them all night long.
Yeah.
They rack up 2 penalties or so and move back, I think, close to the 10-yard line. Then they're forced to punt. And the mishandling of that snap there allowed, I think, J.D. Nanny and Trenton Rocker were the two that kind of combined there for that tackle on Baldwin's punter, Wade Barron, to get the safety. And then that was it. I mean, there was really no threat the rest of the game. Baldwin only crossed the 50-yard line one time. They got to the 50 one time and punted. But as far as crossing the 50, I think they only did once. So, you know, but they were better on offense than Boonville was. Boonville had 55 yards of total offense.
Wow.
So, you win a game. If you'd have told Mike Maddox you win the game with 55 yards of total offense and no offensive touchdowns, like,
hey,
he's like, what?
Win's a win.
Yeah, it is what it is. So,
and now this week they'll probably both drop 40 or something.
Well, yeah, I think Baldwin's going to Tisch County.
Yeah.
And Tisch County let Belmont score 37 and run a good bit.
And 33. Mantachie had 33 on him.
Yeah, Mantachie ran, you know, had 33. So Baldwin get a chance to kind of, you know, heal some of those offensive woes and stuff. Baldwin was missing a few players too. Had a few in quarantine, a few that were ineligible for that game and stuff. So they'll get those guys back this week, and hopefully, you know, and I think Boonville has, I can't remember who they got, to be honest with you, but, you know, but they're hopefully go back to their week one ways. Let's see, they got East Union this week.
Oh, yeah.
Who has, you know, been struggling defensively to start the year, too. So maybe both squads can kind of get back on track offensively and try to get done with what they hope to get done.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's look ahead to some of the big games now. We've got a lot of teams finally getting on the field this week. By my count, we've got 5 area teams that have not played a game on the field. We'll get to do so this week. You got, of course, Vardaman. They've not played. They're taking on East Webster Thursday.
Yeah.
It's a Thursday game. And then you've got Calhoun City Aberdeen at Calhoun City. Neither one of those teams has played yet because of COVID, quarantine, and all that stuff. And, of course, he got Houston, which has not been in quarantine, but its first two opponents have. So they finally get to play against Shannon, which to me is an intriguing matchup because Houston, we figure they're going to be pretty good with Red Parker, Jalen Washington, and guys like that. And the linebacker, Cooper Wood.
Jamal.
Cooper Wood. Shannon, you know, looked really good against Pontotoc in week one in that last second loss. Last week, just go to get shut out by New Hope, a team that went 2-8 last year.
Yeah.
A team Shannon usually can beat. So don't know where their heads are at. Don't know if maybe they were missing some guys, you know. Teams are going to be struggling with that this year.
I think that was a worry after talking, because I was there for that Shannon Pontotoc game, and Shannon just really just kind of gave that game away to Pontotoc there at the end, and I think that was a worry of Daryl Carter there, the head coach at Shannon, of trying to get his guys mentally to bounce back from that, because that's such a tough loss. The Shannon Pontotoc's a big rivalry game.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, you'd lose it in that fashion, and then you have to bounce back. You know, you get 7 days to you know, wash that bad taste out of your mouth, and instead you don't do it. You go and put a worse performance out on film.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this will be huge for them, because I think
This is one of them gut check games.
Yeah, because if you don't, if you let Houston come out when they haven't had a game in 2 weeks, you know, and you let them come out and punch you in the mouth and go run it up on you, like, that, I think that doesn't bode well for you for the rest of the year. And you're already in a division with Corinth and Itawamba and this Morville team that we've been talking about. That's improved. They're 0-2, but they're offensively, they're so improved that they can sneak up on you.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't want to be rolling into division play with
that kind of bad tone that you've set.
Right, exactly. So you don't want to do that, because if you're Shannon, you're too talented. I mean, they've got talent all over the field. Jamarcus Shines has improved, but I didn't see last week. But, I mean,
they haven't posted stats yet, so I don't know what they are.
This is a good week for him, though, to really continue to show what he showed in week one, because you're all across the way. Red Parker's going to do what Red Parker does. So.
Yeah, exactly. Ripley is going to visit Kossuth, which Kossuth did not play last week because Corinth went into quarantine. So Aggies have had a week off to get ready for Ripley, which is off to a 2-0 start behind the play of Emmanuel Griffin. Had a huge week last week against Holly Springs, 193 yards on just 10 carries.
Yeah, and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, and he had a good year last year, so we kind of know about him.
He's a guy we wrote about him. About him in yesterday's paper. So
today's paper, Wednesday.
Yeah, it was today. I wrote it yesterday, so that's what's throwing me off. If you haven't, go stop by and you look at that online, or get the paper, either one. So. He rushed for over 1,000 yards and I think 13 touchdowns last year in that first year under Perry Lyles in that offense. But, he says his goal this year, in year two, is, you know, to be even better. He mentioned about, you know, they didn't have the spring leading up because of COVID. And then, like, you know, and he said in the summer he was trying to learn it all real fast. And he's like, he took a lot of lessons during the season because he was trying to catch up to it. And even with trying to catch up, he still, like I said, rushed for over 1,000 yards and all that. But, you know, now that feels like he's mastered this, what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And he obviously showed it last Friday. I mean, that was a huge, huge performance. I don't even know how many yards per carry that is, 193 divided
by
10.
Well, on 10 carries, 19.3.
I mean, I forgot it was 10 carries, so I could have done that.
Yeah, I couldn't do it if it was 11 carries.
Yeah, right. If it was 11, it must be. I should have known when 10 carries. But
it's that walnut education.
Yeah, you know what it is. We focus on science more than math there. But
oh, man.
Yeah, and I was on the math and science team. But it'll be a challenge. Kossuth will definitely put up a little more resistance than what he's seen so far between Byhalia and Holly Springs.
Yeah.
But,
it's kind of hard to gauge just how good Ripley's defense is. I mean, yeah, they've allowed, 8 points to Byhalia?
Six.
Yeah. Shut out Holly Springs. Not two of the strongest teams right now. And now you got a Kossuth team that we think can be pretty good offensively. Mm-hmm. They just played the one game against Baldwin, didn't have huge numbers, but they had, you know, two running backs who did pretty well, had 80-plus yards. The quarterback, Jack Johnson, of course, he's the transfer from McNary Central. He was only, I think, 3 of 11 on the day, but he didn't throw any picks, so don't really know yet how good he might be for them. So they're still a team you have to kind of wait and see, especially on offense. Of course, defense, Kossuth struggled mightily last year, so that Baldwin win was probably at least encouraging in that, you know, the defense seemed to play pretty well.
They lost to Baldwin, but
what did I say?
You Baldwin win. You said in the Baldwin win, but Baldwin beat them.
The Baldwin loss. Sorry,
but it was
that game.
I knew what you meant, but that's something. And obviously, what we've come to find out about Baldwin is their defense is pretty good.
Yeah,
because they played two games and held Kossuth to 11, and then Boonville to 2, and it wasn't really their defense on the.
The defense held them to none.
Yeah, right. So, and I wasn't there for the Kossuth game to know if, you know, there was a safety, because 11's a weird score. So.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. There may have been a safety in that game.
Maybe so. So, like, you know, who knows? But, Kossuth's got a chance here to piece together, you know, and get their first win that was actually played on the field and not, you know, a forfeit win. So that'll be a good one if you're in the area for that one.
Another big game, Tupelo hosting Corinth. Corinth, as I mentioned a while ago, was in quarantine last week, couldn't play. They beat Saltillo in the season opener, had 603 yards of offense. So I guess that wing tee is in pretty good shape. With Chris Rogers and at running back and some other guys. You got Bronner Cregine, of course, the quarterback. So, you know, it's always a tough offense to defend, and then especially so when you got guys that talented, because Chris Rogers is he's got the stuff,
right?
And he's like, what, 15, maybe 16 years old? I don't know if he's had a birthday. He was 15 this summer.
I think he turned 16 over the summer, okay. Like late in the summer, but I think he's like a baby in his class. I think
he looks birthday. He looks like, I mean, if you just walked up to him, you think, hey, this kid's in college playing ball. No, not yet. You got a couple more years. But anyway, it's a tough offense to deal with. But as I have said many times, we'll keep saying until they prove me wrong or prove me otherwise, Tupelo has a really good defense. Mm-hmm. They showed it last week. You know, even though Tyler Smith did give them some trouble, again, he's in a very elusive quarterback, but they still sacked him 7 times.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, that defensive line absolutely dominated up front. The linebackers as well, getting in there and making plays. And that whole front 7, I think, as a unit, will be able to hold Corinth's offense enough at bay to get the win. And then, you know, Corinth can throw the ball, and sometimes they'll line up in just the spread formation. It's not all wing tee all the time.
Right.
And Bronner Cregine seems to be really – good quarterback, kind of coming into his own. But that secondary, Fred Adams, Zach Pratt, the Herring kid, whose first name somehow eludes me, he was out last week. I'm not sure if he'll be back this week. But even so, they've got some good depth, too, on that defense. And I just don't know if Corinth is going to quite have the horses it takes to beat Tupelo.
I'm with you on that. I guess the only way to play devil's advocate on that is just the wing tee is meant to punish, like, undisciplined defense.
Right.
Not necessarily just like untalented defense.
True.
And so like Tupelo is very talented. I guess if you're Corinth, you're just hoping that you can catch Tupelo being undisciplined at times, over pursuing a motion, and the next thing you know, Chris Rogers got the ball on the other side.
And that was an issue last week. Ty Harden said that he thought at times his defense was too aggressive, and against a quarterback like Tyler Smith, I mean that can burn you.
Right.
If you got to be smart in there as well.
Right.
So I'm sure he's probably pounding that theme this week.
Yeah, because if you don't, and you know, if you over pursue one way, and Chris Rogers has got the ball going the other way, and he's just got to make one miss, he's going to win that battle a good amount of times. So,
yeah, exactly. All right, one other game to mention quickly. Oxford is going down to Shreveport, Louisiana.
Independence Bowl, baby.
The Independence Bowl. Going to take on Ruston, which just happens to be my alma mater. Ruston,
Bearcats.
Ruston, that's right. Go Bearcats. Ruston's about 65 miles east of Shreveport, right off I-20. They've historically had a good program. When I was living there, they were winning state championships all the time. I'm not sure the last time they won one, but they kind of have been up and down over the last couple of decades. But last I checked, they were pretty good. I'm trying to get some stats and info on them from their coach, and he hasn't gotten back to me yet, so I can't really tell you a whole lot about Ruston right now.
You need to send him a picture of your Ruston tattoo. And
I don't have a Ruston tattoo.
I'm just kidding.
Although, that's an idea.
Get you a big bear cat on your
big
back.
Big bear cat on my back, yeah. Yeah, I don't think so. I love my alma mater, but not that much. So that should be a fun game. I think it's like a 3 o'clock kickoff, too. I'm sure we can stream it somewhere.
It'll be streamed on Flow Sports. So if you're one of the Ole Miss or Mississippi State fans that subscribe to Flow Sports when they had the college baseball showdown in Texas kick off the year, if you still got that subscription, you can watch Oxford and Ruston on there. But it's exclusive on there, so that's the only way you can get it.
So. Okay, gotcha. All right, so those are some of the games to kind of keep an eye on. We'll have full coverage this weekend in the Journal and at djournal.com. Time for the COVID update, and as far as I know, there is nothing to report of note. Certainly not football wise. I mean, I think we've already covered the Bruce situation. They're out again this week. Hopefully, they'll be able to play next week against South Pontotoc. So they're going to miss their first three games.
I believe they came out of virtual school today.
Okay.
Or tomorrow, but they won't have their 14-day acclimation period.
And they had like an outbreak apparently last week on the team.
Yeah, maybe so. Something like that. So they were technically scheduled to get out of virtual school before the Water Valley game, but they weren't going to have enough time.
Okay, let's do this week's shout-out, and it goes to the Tisch County football team. They had three guys rush for over 100 yards in a win over Belmont, 52-37 was the final score of that game. You had the quarterback, Blake Counts, 172 yards and two touchdowns on seven carries. Brian Scales, the tailback, 11 carries, 163 and two scores. Chandler Williams, the fullback, 8 for 119 and three touchdowns. They run that multiple I formation offense, which Richard Russo, the coach, said he got from Willis Wright, you know, the legendary high school coach. He was at South Panola, Saltillo, and whatnot. And he said that's how the offense is supposed to work. It's supposed to have three 100-yard rushers. And as far as he knows, that's the first time Tisch County has ever had three guys rush for 100 yards in the same game. They shattered the school record, the program record for single-game rushing yardage by like 153 yards. So, you know, coming off that loss to Mantachie and then bouncing back with that is pretty good. Bounce back and perhaps indicative of what they can do down the line here. But they do have Baldwin and that tough defense coming up. So this will be a big test to see if they can keep that success going. Let's close it out with Athletes of the Week. We do this every week. Recognize a male and female athlete for their accomplishments. Male Athlete of the Week, Wynn Navarette, wide receiver for North Pontotoc. Had a really good game last week. Had six catches for 146 yards against Charleston. And he had the game-winning 69-yard touchdown catch with a minute 20 left. North Pontotoc winning that one 18-12 over Charleston, which I'm assuming is a pretty good team.
I was gonna say, that's kind of eye-popping to me. I mean, I just assuming off of historical deals there, Charleston's always good. So for North Pontotoc to win that one kind of opens my eyes a little bit because Charleston, like I said, is typically.
Yeah, because initially that was an open date. Yeah. For North Pontotoc.
Yeah.
And then Andy Crotwell, the North Pontotoc coach, decided to schedule Charleston. And I was asking him about it one time. Let me see if I can find that text message. Okay, I actually cannot read that text message on the air. Okay. Suffice to say, he was not optimistic, but hey, they ended up winning, so good for them. Female Athlete of the Week, Kate Gann of Itawamba AHS Cross Country. She took first place in the Tupelo Christian Twilight Meet last Thursday. I mean, she went up against everybody. It was 1A through 6A. Mm-hmm. You know, and Kate ended up winning the whole thing by a good 15 seconds over the second place finisher. And they had some state championship squads in there like Saltillo and Kossuth and TCPS. And so
Senatobia. I mean, it was loaded. I mean, there was a lot more of them.
Yeah. And you're going to have a little something on her in tomorrow's prep notebook as well. So there you go, Athletes of the Week. And that's all the time we have for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Just a reminder, you can hear us every Wednesday in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Dylan's on there at Dylan Barnes DJ. I'm on there at Brad Locke. And we'll see y'all next time.